Hey, Scott, how are you?
Good, how you doing, Joe?
Pretty good. Just waiting on Rob. Yeah, my mom was talking about, Rob was almost here. Saw him flash for a second. Yeah, my mom was talking about it's really difficult in this winter weather. And I'm like, hey, Mom, it's not winter yet. It's still fall.
They're saying 60s like Wednesday and Thursday. So.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, excellent. Let's get on with that. I just hope we have decent weather for Thanksgiving. Hello, Robert. How are you?
I'm peachy. I just had technical difficulties there for a second, but
I noticed.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. That's not where I parked. No.
You guys aren't old enough to remember the Indian on the screen when they would have technical difficulties on the 5 television stations, are you?
No.
The test pattern. It was a test pattern with a Native American.
On I don't the recall screen. That. No.
Yes, yeah. Channel 4 would.
I remember.
Go off at, Channel 4 would go off at 12, I think.
Yeah, I remember the one where it was a public service announcement about the environment, and the Native American was crying.
yes.
That's about as far back as I go on that. So yeah,
it was kind of like it wasn't like Hootie the Owl Don't Pollute, but it was close to that.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. So let's keep going. Today's broadcast for Tuesday, November 17th. I can't believe 2020. I can't believe the month's half over. Brought to you by my buddy Josh Cohn's down there at Ray Skillman. Get a hold of him. His cell phone is 317-665-6559. He can get you in a car, SUV, van. They have all the brands down there, Ray Skillman, so whatever you're looking for. Once again, that's Josh Cohn's. Give him a call, 317-665-6559. The pizza place I go to when I go and eat a local pizza, that's Giacomo's Upper Crust Pizza. They have three locations at Fort Bend on the north side, 317-986-4545. Irvington is 317-356-6612. And Greenwood is 317-883-8993. I know they still have carry out and delivery from 11 to 9. But because all the guidelines have changed due to the lovely virus, if you're going to dine in, you may want to call ahead and see what their setup's going to be. So once again, that's a Giacomo's Upper Crust Pizza. They have lots to choose from. A buddy of mine was talking about the meatball pizza, which is excellent. My son really likes the luau, which is pineapple with barbecue sauce. And then their staple is the Cheese Louise and the Slaughterhouse Five. The Cheese Louise has five cheeses, and the Slaughterhouse Five is all the meats. If you're into Asian, you want to check out Yin Ching. They're at 8512 East Washington Street, Indianapolis, 46219. Their phone number is 317-889-3270. Their hours, you can't dine in there yet. Their hours, it's pickup. Their hours for lunch is 11 to 2 on Tuesday through Friday. Sunday's a buffet from 11:30 to 2:30. And I don't know if the buffet's still around because they changed the guidelines Monday. The dinner is Tuesday through Thursday, 5 to 10. Friday and Saturday, 4:30 to 10:30. And Sunday's 4:30 to 9:30. They're closed on Monday. Their style is Northern Peking and Szechuan style dishes. And they have, you name it, they have it. It's my favorite Asian place to go. I normally get the Crab Rangoon, which is six pieces of Crab Rangoon, which is outstanding. They've got lo mein, fried rice, beef, chicken, pork, seafood, vegetarian, and They have 32 options for the chef's special. And they also have lunch specials, 38 options for a lunch special. If you like spicy, they've got spicy. So go check them out. Just call ahead because, you know, the virus thing. 317-899-3270. Also, if you're in the mood for authentic Mexican, there's El Jarepo there at 30 East Washington Point Drive there in Indianapolis, 46229. Their phone number is 317-898-3921. If you're going to dine in, call ahead. Great, great place. Of course, they have margaritas. And, of course, they serve nachos as an appetizer, but if you want an additional appetizer, they've got tons of options there as well. They have fajitas, seafood, chicken. They've got, let's see, 14 Mexican traditional dishes, tacos, vegetarian, their combo platter, which the combo platters for less than $10 is 30 options there. They've got burritos, quesadillas, enchiladas, and they also have lunch. So they have, adult beverages as well. And if the kids want something, I don't drink, so I get a pop. Usually they have the Mexican pops called Jarritos, which in many flavors, and pink lemonade. So go check them out. It's El Jarepo. Give them a call if you want to dine in. That's 317-898-3921. Before we get started, guys, I wanted to touch on this because we forgot last week. A major celebrity is no longer with us. And when you're on, and me and my buddy Billy talked about it last week. When you're on television that long, I call it the Carson effect, Johnny Carson effect. He kind of becomes a member of your family. Alex Trebek passed away from prostate cancer at the age of 80. And Scott, you're a Notre Dame guy, right?
Yes.
And you saw where Paul Hornung of the Packers died?
Yes.
The Packer Hall of Famer?
Yep.
Yeah. So did you guys hear what they said on Fox 59 about what Lombardi said about Hornung?
I did not hear that, no.
Lombardi said he was the best player he ever coached.
Oh, wow.
So he was a superstar, NFL superstar in the 50s and 60s. So I think he was around for Super Bowl 1 or 2, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So what are you guys' feedback on Trebek?
I think Johnny Carson is a good comparison. He was, I believe he did that for 35 years. And for comparison, I've been in the, quote, real world for, 25 years right. in the same industry, right. but not the same job. And, right. and so anybody that can do that, I mean, I've worked with people that have done it for 30, 40, 50 years, and then they retire, but that level of dedication. And one of the things I remember hearing as far as memorial and tributes to him is he refused to name who his successor would be. In other words, he refused to have that, as a legacy or whatever, he'd found what he loved to do. And if anybody can do that, they've lived a full life.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Agreed.
I guess he wasn't just reading off the cue cards. I guess he wrote some of the questions.
Mm-hmm.
So that alone, because when you're watching at home, I don't know who said this joke, but it's totally true. When you're watching at home, you think you're a total genius watching Wheel of Fortune, and then Jeopardy comes on. And you're like, no. But the thing that always got me about Jeopardy is you've got these Ivy League contestants, or it seems like that. And then Trebek would come on and say, okay, in the James Bond series, who played the first James Bond? And nobody gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? Come on, yeah. Man.
Well, have you ever seen the clip of where there's a category? The category is just football. And yeah. Nobody gets any of the questions. It's like the last category they pick, and nobody gets any of the questions. And Trebek just has, you know, this dumbfounded look on his face, because the first couple questions are always easy, you know? And, like, right, nobody's sure. Getting them. I can't remember what the questions were, but, you know, he's just sitting there like, are you kidding me? You know, you guys don't know this.
Yeah, and that was part of it. Was it Jim Jennings is the all-time winner?
Ken Jennings.
Yeah. Yep. And I have a hunch he's going to be at some point the next host of that show.
I've heard that as well.
I love the fact that a professional gambler came on there and didn't do as good as Ken Jennings, but he still just absolutely mopped the floor with the place, you know, and it's that kind of show that, you know, it, not only do you have to give the right answer, you have to give it in the form of a question. And yeah. Who would have thunk that would last for 3.5 decades?
All right.
Yeah. What is Sean Connery?
What is Sean Connery? and to go back a couple of podcasts, I have to make a correction on my own, because we talked a little bit about this, and I forgot in the last show. It was not Hellraiser. It was Highlander he was in.
That's just kind of different of a genre. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's no big deal.
No big deal. As far as greats that have gone, I wanted to get that right because I felt bad after.
That's fine. Yeah, Alex Trebek will be sorely missed. Okay, so tonight we've got the usual football things, and then we're going to do movie picks. Top 10 and a bonus of all time. The scoreboard, and I threw in an extra one on the NCAA football scoreboard for this evening. Notre Dame beat Boston College, but Boston College gave Notre Dame all they could handle for whatever reason. Iowa beat Minnesota. What is up with Michigan State?
Michigan and Michigan State are both bad this year.
Yeah, IU shut them out. Goose Egg City on Michigan State.
So, Rob, is that a testament to how good IU is or how bad Michigan State is?
Yes.
Ask Penn State.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And speaking of which, Wisconsin beat Michigan. Man, Harbaugh, he's on the clock, bro. Northwestern has a good team. Northwestern beat Purdue. Illinois beat Rutgers. And I think Ohio State's going to clear it, but Ohio State and Maryland was canceled due to the virus, and IU has Ohio State on Fox next Saturday.
That's the game, regardless of how they're ranked or not ranked or everything like that, whether it's basketball or anything, whenever IU and Ohio State play each other, I was like, that's the game where nobody wins. You know, because somebody has to win, and it's just like, whatever.
I just want them to play the game and not get canceled for the virus, so.
Yeah. So. I do want to see that game. I wish Purdue and Wisconsin could have played, but I think the Northwestern verdict kind of you know, delivered what we thought. David Bell is an awesome receiver, and if they can get Rondale Moore back, that'd be really good.
Yeah.
But Purdue is, as expected, again, IU's overrated. So that'll be proven.
Wow. No, I don't concur with that. IU's not overrated. They've earned it this year.
They are definitely the benefactors of a 100-year plague season.
Well, that's true, too. You know, it's all kind of wacky this year, so I'll give you that. And finally, I'm going to start adding these guys in. Ball State beat the powerhouse Eastern Michigan. So there you have it.
Chirp, chirp.
I hate that. I'm a Ball State grad. I hate that chirp, chirp. I'm like, we fly, baby. Let's go. So on to the NFL. I wanted to save the best for last on this one. Well, the Raiders beat the Broncos. Now, hold on. Everybody's talking about the Raiders. I'm like, dude, pump the brakes. It was the Broncos, okay? You know?
But they beat the Chiefs.
They have the Chiefs next week on Sunday night. So that's Vegas.
There's your litmus test.
Yeah, you got that right. The Rams upset the Seahawks. I want your feedback on this, Rob. The Saints beat the Niners, but.
Yep. And they were making fun of me Monday morning in a meeting we were having.
No.
Yeah, about Purdue losing and IU winning and Breeze getting hurt. And I go, you know what? Back in college, I used to say any weekend you can walk away from is a good one. And that's really what Drew Brees did in that game. He's living to fight another day. I think he is, you know, he's 40 something, and he's seeing the forest for the trees. If he were, say, Tom Brady, he'd probably still be in there because he's wanting to get one more record. But I think he knows how to exercise caution for the larger picture, and I doubt that he plays this next weekend.
Yeah,
but I think Jameis Winston can fill in to get that done with Hill as you know, kind of a trick play fill in, and you know, they barely won that game, but I think it was kind of the well, they may have rested a little bit on their laurels from what they did to Tampa Bay the week before.
What do you guys think of Jameis Winston?
He needed to not do what he did after the Tampa Bay game as far as what, eating the W. It's like, dude, you're the backup quarterback. You're kind of riding shotgun still, you know, I'm glad he found a place to be. And I think he's got some talent left to do the job. But hopefully it doesn't go sideways.
Yeah, I that's fair. Yeah. Steelers beat the Bengals. Man, the Texans are just Jiminy Christmas. They're just forget it. It's like Ole. Browns beat the Texans. The Bucks beat the Panthers. Great, great, great game. I was able to catch the end of it. The Cardinals came back and beat the Bills in a fantastic game.
Did you see the end of that game?
I sure did.
That catch was amazing. Wow.
And the Texans coughed up Hopkins for what?
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo.
I'll give a fantasy brag on sure. that. In the last 30 to 45 seconds of that game, I made six. I'm doing the math. I made 12 fantasy points in that last 30 to 45 seconds because I had Stephon Diggs and Kyler Murray.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I had Special K on one of my teams. That was a good day.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the – is Belichick still that smart or the Ravens just that dumb last night? I mean,
weather.
Sunday night.
Yeah, that weather was atrocious.
Yeah.
I do have some more doubts about the Ravens now that that game has happened because – and somebody, it might have been Nate Burleson on Good Morning Football yesterday. I might have that wrong, but somebody was talking about they don't have a go-to receiver. They just
right.
don't.
They don't have a marquee receiver, correct. And then last night the Vikings beat the Bears, which was – and Foles got rocked. I didn't see the hit, but I guess Foles got rocked.
It didn't look that bad. I mean, maybe it was, but just from looking at it, you wouldn't think, oh, yeah, he's injured, but –
I shut it off after the first, I think, quarter and got some stuff done.
Yeah, I understand that argument.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the player of the game, in my opinion, between the Colts and the Titans last Thursday was Carey. So I got that right. TJ Carey.
TJ Carey.
38. Number 38 on the defense.
Yeah.
Who blocked the guy who blocked the punt and he ran it in for the touchdown?
Yeah. And okay. I'm with you now. See, and I didn't look at the individual player. I looked at special teams. Special teams and yeah. defense kicked won that game.
Oh yeah.
Period. Definitely. Yeah. No, that block kick, because what was that? That was another one where they scored like what, a touchdown or more in a minute or yeah. something like that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that was yeah. Definitely player of the game. And yeah, whoever blocked that punt deserved a game ball.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, and the Colts have the Titans. The Colts have interesting. You guys want to go in depth about that game? Because you're exactly right. I mean, it was the special teams really shined that game, and the defense did very well.
Yeah, their defense and special teams played excellent. That I mean, the defense, you know, stopped them. They went to punt. The special teams blocked them, and obviously got the touchdown and everything. So,
one of the things that ticked me off about that game, and it might have been Boomer Esiason, I can't remember. Yeah, one of the commentators or pregame, I think, was talking about, oh, the Colts can't run the game, Titans are going to win. I mean, everybody said Titans are going to win,
right?
And I was like, you are full of I don't know what, because
malarkey.
Yeah, you're full of malarkey because you use a Bidenism, because we got another 4 years to go with that.
Or baloney works.
But no, the Colts have a running game. I mean, every win they've had, they've done awesome. And it's running back by committee, however you want to say it, even though Marlon Mack's out.
Right.
They've got a running game with that line, so
yeah.
I don't want to hear it anymore. That, and I think I texted both of you that is the first, in my opinion, signature win of the Colts this year.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah, I was watching it with three other guys at a buddy's house, and when they blocked that punt for a touchdown, we were going insane.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was two touchdowns within a minute after they blocked the punt and returned it for a touchdown. That's how quick their defense stopped.
And I can't remember the last time the Colts have done that.
And they only held Henry to just over 100 yards, which is more than they usually do. But that's Henry. And I think when we've done these before, there was a game where he had, what, 200 and something yards and two touchdowns. I was like, if the Colts can hold him to half of that, they win.
Yeah.
Boom.
So, Rob, yeah, where do you have the Colts in your weekly rankings?
Yep, 10. Number 10.
Okay. They're tied for the AFC South. Yep. I'm not going to quote this meme about Derrick Henry's hair, but you need to go out and look that up.
All right.
So.
All right.
So, we're going to preview on a week 11. I didn't do all the games because some of them are kind of generic, but I did the highlights. The Cardinals at the Seahawks is the Thursday night game. Finally, a good game on Thursday night. Falcons.
Two back to back.
Hey, take a picture. Falcons, right? Go ahead.
They got the memo.
Finally. Falcons are at the Saints. I did all the AFC South just because, I guess. And I did the teams that are leading into the playoffs. The Steelers are at the Jags. Good game here. Titans at the Ravens. The Patriots are at the Texans. And then the Chiefs are at the Raiders. They're the Sunday night game, 8 o'clock on NBC. Rams at the Bucks at 8 on Monday Night Football. And then the Packers come here. They're the late game. Packers and Colts at 4 on Fox. And the Colts are favored by 2.5, so I say 3. So here's my thing. The Jaguars gave the Packers all they could handle last week. So what does that mean? And they're going to be burning hot coming here. So what does that mean for the Colts on Sunday? And I think the Colts can beat them, but it's going to be close.
Yeah. And I agree. When I was watching that game, I was like, please, 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 Packers don't lose, because that would have just turned it up,
right,
you know, a notch,
right,
with them thinking they have to win it. The Colts do have a chance. The Colts have beaten all three other teams in that division.
Yeah.
And I think they can beat the Packers. I think, let's see, Scott, you'd asked where I had the Colts. I've actually got the Packers right now at number 7, only because they lead that division.
Yeah, NFC North.
Yeah. And so it's a winnable game. And just for comparison, I had the Titans at 8 last week. But because the Colts beat them, I don't have them in the top 10 right now.
Right.
Just based off of standings and schedule. So the Colts, hopefully they're not doing kind of what the Saints did as far as getting a big win and you know, just kind of resting on their laurels.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Rob. It's a winnable game. It's definitely going to be a tough matchup for them, I think. The defense and special teams are going to have to play as good as they did last week, if not better. And we'll see what happens.
So, who's the running back for the Packers? I'm drawing a blank.
Aaron Jones.
Okay. All right, so the three main weapons. Well, Rodgers can kill you with somebody walking off the street.
Right.
However, if you can keep him and Jones contained, then you have to double Davante Adams because he'll burn you all day long. So if they can keep the running game and Rodgers in check and minimize Davante Adams, they've got a really good shot of winning this game, which I think they could do.
Valdez Scantling went off.
Yes. Yes, he did. Yeah, he did.
And he's one to watch as well.
Yeah, that's their number two receiver. So, yeah, you got to cover him up too. And, you know, the Packers' defense is respectable. They're not, you know, they're not amazing, but they're respectable. So, I think the Colts are going to be up for this game. They're not going to, you know, it's not like it's not going to be like the Browns game where they're like, oh, okay, it's the Browns. I think they're going to be up for this game. So
they'll be up for it. And okay, here's my prediction. I'll make one.
All right.
Colts will win surely because in Wisconsin, evidently, they don't allow a single person in the stadium. But here in Indianapolis, we do. So we're going to have a crowd there.
Right.
So that might just shock the hell out of them.
That's a possibility. Oh, my. That I'm okay with that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the Colts win, but it's going to be, you know, it could be a field goal game. So I'm okay with Hot Rod winning the game.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you go Hot Rod.
So, you guys want to talk about the Chiefs and the Raiders?
Yeah, that one.
I'm
based off the first game. I'm gonna, if it's available, I'm gonna watch it.
Well, it's a Sunday night game. It's going to be on NBC.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So,
I do think the Raiders and the Colts are kind of in the same boat.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that, you know, that wild card consideration and all that's going on.
Right.
And yeah, if the Raiders can actually pull this one off, I think they're a step above in wild card consideration.
Can somebody get me the line on that real quick?
I'll try. Hold on.
Kansas City -7.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. And there's a couple reasons for that. Okay, so let me write that down.
I would say -5. because it's in Vegas. And I think Raiders have their number.
Well, KC by 7. Okay. KC doesn't cover. KC doesn't cover this.
No, I don't think they do either.
And I don't bet. So I mean, that's my disclaimer. I don't bet. So KC doesn't cover this. However, let's be honest. The Raiders can win this game, but the Chiefs are coming off a bye. And Mahomes has extra motivation to light up the Raiders defense. So if the Raiders can cut, if the Raiders can keep the Chiefs receiving core in check, they've got a shot. If Mahomes has a field day where nobody breathes on him, game's over.
And you added a couple pieces I wasn't fully aware of. Yeah, the bye week and the grudge. So
right.
Yeah.
So yeah, and they have to. The Raiders have to be in Mahomes' face, or he's going to have a field day. So there you go. You guys ready to do the movies?
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
Oh, we need to do one more thing with the football thing. Let's do a score for the Colts-Packers game. What do you think? What do you think the final score is going to be for the Colts-Packers game? So we just lay it on the line right here. If you want me to go first, I'll go first.
Yeah. Go ahead. I've got an idea, but go ahead.
Colts.
I'm going 27-23 okay. Packers.
I will say, I was originally going to say 24-21 Colts, because if Rodgers gets hot and scores over 3 touchdowns, I don't know that we can match that, but right. that's mine. 24-21 Colts.
Well, let me write all these down. Okay. And I want you guys to write me down to check me. So mine was 31-28 Colts. Scott had the Packers. What?
27-23.
Okay. So you're picking the upset.
Yeah. And I think Scott's kind of saying what I am in inverse, which is, again, if they score over 21 – the Colts can't keep up with that. So right. Mine's 24-21. Yeah.
Okay. I'll make sure I got this right. Okay. I'm 31-28 Colts. Rob's 24-21 Colts. Scott is 27-23 Packers. Yes. All right. Done. Okay. All right. So we're doing a new feature this evening. The guys wanted to add a little something extra last week, so we're going to continue with that. Tonight is our top 10 movies of all time with a bonus pick. Rob, go ahead and start off with your number 11, please.
Yep, and I'm already cheating.
Okay? If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, like the old
Oakland Raiders used to say. That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. Why is it, Al Davis? Yeah. Thank you, Al Davis.
Or Gene Upshaw, one of the two.
Yeah, one of them. my number 11, and just so you know, these first few, when you're talking about all time,
yeah,
there is no way, you know, and whether it's my personal preference or however you want to look at it, I'm trying to include as many of these as I can in maybe a genre to start out with.
Right.
So my bonus is part one, The Godfather. And only because personally that movie showed me the quote, the book is always better than the movie.
Oh yeah.
By the time I got to see The Godfather, I had already read the book for a college project.
Yeah.
And I can say in that case, to me, the book is better than the movie, but I saw some ranking sites that had Godfather at number one all time.
Yeah.
So, I had to put that in there. And part two of number 11 is Wizard of Oz, because that was the Star Wars for my parents and their parents.
Sure. Sure. Right.
That was cutting edge.
Right.
You know, that was before its time, and so those are my number 11.
I have The Godfather much higher, but that is an amazing movie. Go ahead, Scott.
For my bonus pick, I had The Empire Strikes Back.
Great movie.
You'll see where I go with it, but Empire Strikes Back is among my favorites.
I'm a wee bit older than you guys, and this was before VHS tapes. So my grandmother, who's still living, agreed to take me and my brother to see Empire Strikes Back four times. Nice. In the theater. Paid four times for that. My number 11 pick in Glorious Black and White. I don't know if you've ever seen the original version, gentlemen, but it's The Manchurian Candidate with Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Yep.
Go ahead, Rob.
Okay, my number 10, and this is in kind of the same category as I'm trying to include as many movies as possible, but my number 10 is Platoon.
Oh, wow. Good movie.
Yeah. And the actors in that, you know, there's so many that went on to be really, really great actors in my lifetime. But that was the first R-rated movie my mother took me to, because at the time I was like 14 or 15 years old, and recruiters were starting to come around and make calls and things like that. Yeah. And so she thought I needed to see that.
My first rated R movie my dad took me to was Beverly Hills Cop, Eddie Murphy.
There you go. There you go. I would have rather seen that.
Yeah. Go ahead,
Scott. My number 10 is also my first R-rated movie I ever saw, from back in 1981. Bill Murray, John Candy in Stripes.
Great movie.
There you go.
Great movie. Great comedy. I just altered my number 10 pick, but you really can't go wrong with this cast at all. But the first 30 minutes are really intense. Saving Private Ryan.
And to go back to Platoon, that genre of movies, mm-hmm. Saving Private Ryan, I saw in the theater when it opened.
Yeah, me too.
And literally the opening scene, you wanted to dive behind the seats.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, it was ducks in a barrel.
Yeah, yeah. But it's that type of movie that Platoon, Saving Private Ryan, Apocalypse Now, all of those. Full Metal Jacket. Yeah. I even thought about Full Metal Jacket. Yeah.
Great movie. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. Number 9, and I think this kind of goes to what Scott was going with Stripes. I put Christmas Vacation.
Good movie.
And there's a genre of the Saturday Night Live casts from 70s and 80s. You know, I like Vegas Vacation, Spaceballs, You know, all of those. And so that's really where that one fits. But I can watch Christmas Vacation over and over again, you know, as we had.
Pretty sure my wife's already watched it like five times this year already.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so sorry, exactly. Scott. I'm so sorry.
Yep.
Go ahead, Scott.
I'm going back away with my number nine here. I first saw this when I was in sixth grade in school. They showed it to us. And just always stuck with me. It's a really good movie. 12 Angry Men. With Henry Fonda.
Oh, wow. Great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Thought that was a really good movie.
Glorious black and white. My number nine pick is the original version, which is on Netflix. The Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds and a whole bunch of other great actors.
I'm going to be going there, but not yet.
Okay. Fair enough. Go ahead, Rob.
We talked a couple weeks ago with Sean Connery passing, and growing up in the 80s, that's really where my impressionable years were. Number eight's Hunt for Red October.
Good movie.
And just the Cold War and everything going on during that time, yeah.
Great movie.
I had Saving Private Ryan as my number eight one. So, yep.
Oh, okay. The comic book is so much better than the movie, but this has Natalie Portman in it. It's a V for Vendetta.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Go ahead, Rob.
Let's see. Number seven, and this is actually kind of the last one where I'm trying to lump movies together before I get into really my quote favorites.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight.
Oh,
Batman Dark Knight.
Yeah, sure. Great movie.
And I think, especially the last decade or two, there's been a move towards making movie series of comic books.
Right.
And Batman Begins,
right.
Dark Knight Rises. I really think that's the most, and it seems stupid to say, but most realistic depiction of Batman that I've seen, and so yeah, my number seven is The Dark Knight.
Do you know where they filmed The Dark Knight Rises with the football stadium scene?
Was it actually Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean that, you know, it just had that feel to it. So yeah.
Yeah.
I knew a guy that was he owns a catering business. And he was on site doing, you know, whenever they were doing filming. And, you know, the portrayal of Joker by Heath Ledger, the late Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the best portrayals of a Joker ever.
Yeah.
And I've told people, and I don't know if you guys have actually seen the movie, but I called the last 5 minutes of that movie the best 5 minutes of any movie ever.
Make sure you don't leave the pencil on the desk.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, let me show you a trick. Yeah,
right.
my number seven, I'm going back to 1974 here for what I consider one of the best comedies of all time. Blazing Saddles with Gene Wilder, directed by Mel Brooks.
That's a classic.
No, you could not release that type of movie today.
No.
But that's got some of the best quotes.
And I've studied a lot of that movie, and Mel Brooks wanted Richard Pryor, but Paramount said he wasn't big enough star.
I hadn't heard that about that.
So I'm drawing a blank on the African American who played the sheriff. His name, but who else was in that?
Hedy Lamarr, who was that?
Corman,
Cleveland Little was Corman. The name, yes. Was the name of the sheriff,
yes. Cleveland Little was the sheriff, yep. And then you had Harvey Korman, and then you have Lily von Stupp was
Madeline Kahn.
I had a girlfriend,
that right.
Right. I had a girlfriend in college. Every once in a while, she'd look at me and she goes, It's true.
Yeah. Another Wiener Schnitzel?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a classic. You can't go wrong with Mel Brooks. As a matter of fact, I had a pneumonia this summer, and I'm like, you know, there's nothing you could do. I mean, there's nothing you could do. And I'd had it before. I just put on all, I have the Mel Brooks collection on Blu-ray, and I just put that on and laugh my brains out, and I got better faster. But yeah. Yeah, I can recite too many lines from that movie. Dom DeLuise in that movie when the cowboys break through the urban dancing set. You know. Oh my gosh. You want to meet the commissary after we're done?
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing that you know, Mel Brooks, and I wish I'd thought about it, because when I classified Christmas Vacation as number 9,
yeah.
Spaceballs yeah. is another one that you put in there, you know? And yeah. so,
yep.
yeah, we've, it just great.
We've gone to Plaid. Series. So
we've gone Plaid, yep. Ludicrous Speed.
great movies. You can't go wrong with that. And Dave Chappelle started in that. Real Men Don't Wear Tights. So
I did not know that.
Yeah. My number 7 pick is the Avengers, the original Avengers. Well, the Marvel Avengers, I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and that kind of ties in with the Batman thing. That, mm-hmm. that you know, there's just a lot of that series. And I've actually come onto Avengers, Infinity War, and those movies more so than when it first began. So
yeah,
yeah.
Oh wow, you haven't seen like the first couple of them?
I believe I have, but as far as following them and you know, following the order of them and everything else like that, I have not. No.
This isn't on my list, but my second favorite comic book movie is Captain America: Civil War.
Oh, okay,
it's excellent. Yeah. It's excellent.
Yeah, yeah. I watch them as I can if they'll pop up.
Yeah.
I don't own them. Let me check here real quick. I believe, except for Wizard of Oz, I own every single one of these movies that I'm listing. So,
yeah, I still own a lot of. I upgraded to Blu-ray. I still own a lot of the movies that I'm. Well, I don't have some of them, but I own a lot of movies. My share of movies, but. Now everything is streaming pretty mostly. Streaming.
And I hate that because once you download, it's in the cloud and it's like, okay, well, what happens in 20 years when,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
I don't like that.
Yeah, it's not my first choice either. Okay. Go ahead, Rob, with number 6.
Okay. Yeah. This is the start of movies that, you know, I like that I am actually ranking by themselves, but there's a couple things behind each one. Number 6 is Alien.
Oh wow!
Good because that was probably the first sci-fi horror film that I ever saw,
right.
And even to this day, I cannot watch the guy on the table, you know, getting ready to give birth. I can't do it.
No kidding.
But, you know, the series that came from that and Sigourney Weaver, you know.
Oh, yeah.
At the time, it was like, oh, yeah.
So, that's a good day.
Yeah.
My number 6 was Goodfellas. Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci.
Oh, great movie.
That is good.
Right. Sharon Stone.
No.
Right?
I don't think she. Yeah.
No. That was Casino. Yeah. And
Marie Tremaine.
Yeah.
Was that? Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Great movie. You got to stay away from the helicopter. So. My number six pick, I love mental health movies. Love them. My sixth pick from Philadelphia, Silver Linings Playbook with Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence and Robert De Niro and Chris Tucker.
I have not seen that, and I will.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. It's excellent. Do you like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
I've watched it once or twice, and you're kind of headed where I'm headed as far as what are the best actors,
right.
authors,
yeah.
directors, producers in my lifetime. Yeah, I've seen that one just because of Jack. So,
have you seen A Beautiful Mind?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I own
yeah, if you like those two, you'll like this movie.
Okay, good.
Go ahead, Rob.
Kind of in that same vein, number five for me is Silence of the Lambs.
Clarice. How are you, Clarice?
Clarice. Yes, yes, yes. Like, yes. What is it? Chianti and Farfa Beans. Yeah. But that's Anthony Hopkins, and that, you know, he's been a major big hitter since I've been alive. And so, yeah, I had to put that one.
Oh, yeah, great movie.
My number five, I know I had Empire Strikes Back as my bonus pick. My number five pick is the original Star Wars. Yep. Better than...
Good.
That's my favorite of all. I've lost track of all the Star Wars movies they've made now, but that's still, you know, by far and away my favorite one.
Oh. I think they're on...
Yeah.
Well, I know they've made nine, like, and then they've made
so
a couple spinoffs.
Yeah, there's two or three that are classified as such and such a Star Wars story.
I think they made at least 11, if not 12.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and if you haven't seen the movie Solo, which the reviewers hated, it's an excellent movie.
I like that one. I really do. Yeah. It's Solo, a Star Wars story, and then actually Rogue One, a Star Wars story, is, I think, a little better.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you're a fan of Game of Thrones for the Solo one, Khaleesi is in that one.
Yeah, no, that's a good day.
That is a very good day. That was... Yeah.
And
so watch Solo just for that.
And Mandalorian is the best thing since 1983's Return of the Jedi. So that's
I am watching it. I think with that one they put way too much budget into the first one, and the last two have been okay. but we'll see how it goes.
Well, I really like the last third one of the new season, but the second episode of the new season I was like, eh.
They spent 20 minutes with eggs. I don't get that.
Oh, and then there was 28,000 people who wrote in wanting them to ban the show because Baby Yoda has lunch.
Yeah.
So I'm like, come on. So.
He liked the eggs. He definitely liked the eggs.
Slurp.
yes.
Am I up?
You're
okay. Up. My number five pick. What I try to do with mine is I try to get every genre in. So if I have to pick romantic comedy, I have to go with Rob Reiner's When Harry Met Sally with Billy Crystal. And
I had to watch that.
Yeah.
I said had to watch that.
And Meg Ryan.
We watched. Yeah. It's one of the best scenes ever. I get that. But we watched that my senior year in college it was kind of like a senior cornerstone, capstone project of influential movies up to that point. The class was called Religion, Values, and Self. And so we got to watch that movie and talk about it for something I don't even remember now, but
right.
Yes, that is a very good movie. I mean, the professor was a very much a Billy Crystal fan, and he I think another one we had to watch was City Slickers.
I saw that recently. Great movie.
Yeah,
Jack Palance.
Yes.
Yep. Go ahead, Rob. We're heading down the home stretch here.
Yep. Number four is Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, great movie.
Yeah. And basically, it wasn't until I watched it and I was like, holy crap, that just happened. Then I watched it again and I was like, yep, it just happened. So, but that book or that movie is based off of a novella from Stephen King. So that's.
I was going to ask you that, who wrote the book.
Yeah. 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 And so again, Stephen King, My Lifetime, worth noting.
Yeah, he's a machine. He just goes up there in Maine and cranks them out. No problem.
Yep.
Number four on my list is The Departed. Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, Jack Nicholson.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sure. Great movie. Martin Scorsese told Robert De Niro that he wanted to go another direction, and that was Leonardo DiCaprio. So, they don't work together much anymore for whatever reason. I'm going back on this one. I'm a huge Alfred Hitchcock guy. I picked this movie because part of it was filmed in Indiana. It was with Cary Grant, North by Northwest.
Oh, that was one I was looking at. That one and, what's the other one from Indiana? Well, it's not in the same, not from the same time period at all. Another one that's based in Indiana, if you look at it real close, is Roadhouse.
What?
Roadhouse.
I did not know that. Based in Indiana?
Watch it.
No. That's okay.
Look.
Patrick Swayze. I don't care. I don't care for the throat scene.
But the names of the towns, Linton, I think you have a Jasper.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Roadhouse, North by Northwest.
Yeah, I'm a kung fu bartender security guy. Let's write a storyline around it.
So I don't have to worry.
Go ahead, Scott. That's funny.
I think we're at Rob for number three.
Me?
Scott. Oh, okay.
Yeah. that was not my number three, was Roadhouse. No. Uh-uh.
Good.
No. My number three is Star Wars Episode 4. So I finally got that in.
Nice.
George Lucas, Harrison Ford.
My first Disney princess, Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, there you go.
I miss her. No, seriously. Yeah. I miss her.
Ever since I left high school, I'm not big on trading cards, but I did buy two trading cards in the last 2 or 3 years.
I don't know what they are.
Yep.
And she was in When Harry Met Sally.
She was. She was also in Blues Brothers.
Correct. She had the flamethrower.
Yep. True to form.
That's funny. Go ahead, Scott.
My number three pick, yeah.
Three.
I guess, my wife and I went to see this movie when it first came out, and the theater was surprisingly packed. We didn't know what to expect with its comedy. And we were sitting next to this other couple. The guy was about 10 years older than me. That guy and myself, we were laughing from beginning to end at this movie, and our wives, I don't think, laughed once. But it's Will Ferrell, Vince Vaughn,
that's
and
a good sign.
Old School.
Oh, yeah. I played quarterback for Ball State and used to light them up. That's old school, right? Or is that's old school?
That's the Wedding Crashers.
Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I got the wrong quote. My bad.
No, the old school.
Yes.
Let's go streaking down by the quads.
Yeah. Yeah.
He comes out on stage when Snoop Dogg's out there.
Can we go to Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Yeah, bring the guy with the green hat. And then Vince Vaughn is alone with this like college age girl, and she's trying to hit on him, and he goes, "Well, see, the thing is, I'm married." And he goes, "But here, how about this? How about you give me your number? And if anything ever happens, I'll give you a call." I absolutely lost it on that.
But the Speaker beauty City. Of it was he owned a he owned basically like a like a Best Buy.
Yeah.
And you know, so he was crying. He was trying hard.
That's funny. Now you guys have all talked about my top three, so it's but let me see if I can go in a little more detail. Let's see here. Well, number three is Blazing Saddles. And the only reason why that movie got made is because the producers was a hit, and the producers wasn't supposed to do anything, and the producers ended up being a hit. I think that's how that worked. And if you guys are a Mel Brooks fan at all, have you guys seen Comedians and Cars Getting Coffee at all?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay. So you have Netflix. Okay. All right. So do you guys have Netflix?
No, I don't. I don't subscribe Same. Right now. I do it periodically.
Okay. Okay. Well, anyway. All right. Well, then I can tell the story. Seinfeld.
Yes.
You guys know who Carl Reiner is?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah. All yeah. Right.
Seinfeld, okay, the I don't know if you're familiar with the show. Seinfeld picks up the star at their house, and they go have breakfast or lunch or whatever. So Seinfeld picks up Carl Reiner in a Rolls, and they go to breakfast. And I didn't know that Carl Reiner was Jewish. So Carl Reiner, he's a bazillion years old, says, yeah, I want extra bacon and make sure it's extra crispy. And he's got a 6-inch high stack of bacon that he's eating. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess this is your free day, your cheat day or whatever. So the second,
there is nothing wrong with that.
No,
I've done that. There's nothing wrong with
no,
that.
No, there's not. So the second part of the episode is Seinfeld drives to Reiner's house in a green Porsche Carrera.
Nice.
And he drives over there, walks in the door, and everybody's getting ready to eat at Reiner's house, and there's the maid giving out the food and everything, and Mel Brooks is there, and he tells a fascinating story about his history and how his movies became popular, and he talks about Richard Pryor and Blazing Saddles and Gene Wilder. But what they do, and this is every night, Mel Brooks is a bazillion years old, Carl Reiner is a bazillion years old. So Mel Brooks drives over, and this is going to be the tie-in. Mel Brooks would drive over to Carl Reiner's house to watch Alex Trebek and Jeopardy every night that they would record, and then they would see who would get more answers.
Oh my God!
So you got, if you guys want to see that, it's excellent.
This is the mother of all podcasts.
I try. I'm not going to be Joe Rogan anytime soon.
Oh, no, that's good.
So, yeah, you guys need to see that one.
Awesome.
Go ahead, Rob. Number two.
Yep. Number two, Forrest Gump.
Oh, wow. Fantastic movie.
Yeah. Forrest Gump is basically, I'm trying to tie in that, Tom Hanks,
he
rarely makes a bad movie. He's been doing it forever. And, you know, that's a movie that I can watch. I haven't heard or seen anything about it, but can you imagine what it would be like if Forrest Gump's son now revisits everything that next generation, meaning us, has been through,
yeah.
Especially with this past year.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, if he did the research on his mom alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, she was a flower child, to say the least.
Yep. Yep. So. And yep. So, yep, that's my number two.
Great movie. And Tom Hanks is a huge Raiders fan. So, which I did not know.
Did you know that Rob Lowe is a huge Colts fan?
I remember hearing that really? Somewhere, yeah.
Yes. Huh. Him and Ursay are buds. Him and Ursay are buds, yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. That's cool. And I don't know the old guy who would fly in from Florida with the hard hat on, who was the Pacers fan, who would always hold up the signs underneath the goal. I don't know his name.
I don't know him either.
So. My number two.
Go ahead, Scott.
Recently voted the best sports movie of all time, Hoosiers.
Nice.
Yeah, I've got a. You guys know the cool thing about Hoosiers that you can do right now, right?
Play the Pink Floyd Wall album as the soundtrack. Like we would with Wizard of Oz.
New.
Okay, sorry, I got that wrong.
You can actually go to the Nighttown gym where it's.
Yeah, I've actually been there and played.
You can go and rent it out.
Yeah, it's a really unique experience. Very cool.
Yeah, I'll bet. My brother's been there. But yeah, I haven't done that. That'd be fun. I can't play full court anymore. I mean, come on. Yeah.
Oh, you would fake some people out. They'd end up in the popcorn machine. You know it.
No. I get faked out and blow an ACL and it'd be over. So, no thanks.
Need my blood pressure medicine.
I'm already on it. Yeah.
Yep. Throw me that big. I got on it about 2 weeks ago.
Throw me that big. Believe me. Throw me that big box. Yeah.
Yep.
We've talked about this. Let's see, Francis Ford Coppola. Francis Ford Coppola with The Godfather. He came out of with George Lucas. He came out of USC Film School, and that movie. I look at the 70s for music and art and all that fun and books and everything. As some of the best of all time, because when you look at the movies that come out in the 70s, it sets the bar for everybody else. And same with the music, and same with the artists who was making the music. Francis Ford Coppola with The Godfather, with Brando and De Niro and James Caan, and amazing movie. The second one was great. The third one, people say, fell off, but I like all three of them.
Can I ask a question on that?
Yeah.
So think back to the full movie.
Yeah.
And the closing scene of that movie, right?
Yeah.
Had you read the book yet?
I have not.
Okay. Go back and read the book.
I don't have it. But okay.
Oh, you don't? Okay. No, I do not. I'll loan it to you.
Okay.
I'll loan it to you. We'll do whatever, disinfect it.
We'll do it.
Socially
trade.
Distinct.
We'll do it.
Yeah.
Trade.
But no, the thing, and the only reason why I had them, as a add on and not that high is because after reading the book, you know exactly what she's thinking.
Right. And Mario Puzo is amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah. So.
And if you guys are looking for a good spy movie, between Godfather and Godfather 2,
yes.
You guys like Gene Hackman?
Oh, yeah.
Between Godfather 1 and 2, Coppola made a movie called, with Gene Hackman, called The Conversation, which is fantastic.
Okay.
So if you get a chance to find that out somewhere streaming. It's amazing.
All right. You ready for number one?
Hit me.
My number one, Scott and Joe, mm-hmm. is Hoosiers.
Great movie.
And one, I'm from Indiana. And too. I actually have some tie-ins with this movie that every time I see it, you know, it does make me think of home. And for example, the scene of Coach's love interest,
yeah,
that house,
right, sure,
where they walk around, they're under the trees and everything, they kiss for the first time. That house, cool, is 2 miles north of my parents' house.
Really?
So, yes. Huh. Yeah. Yeah. You were talking about Knightstown Gym, and everybody, you know, mentions that a lot. At the time that movie came out, my mom's boss, his son is the guy that walks up to,
yes,
is it Ollie, who's doing the granny shots? That the guy that walks up and says, "I didn't realize they made him so small down on the farm."
Right.
That was my mom's boss's son at the time. So,
yeah. You talking about the blonde kid with the curt cut that gets fouled at the end?
Yeah, yeah. The guy that puts him in with granny shots there at the end, and then this big guy with black hair comes up and says, "I know they grew him so small down on the farm."
Yeah.
So every time I watch that movie, it's a personal tie.
Oh, sure.
So yeah, that's my number one.
My number one's probably the most quotable movie of all time. Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm. Love that movie. Love that movie. I'll have a Royale with cheese.
I almost went with some Quentin Tarantino, but I stayed away. But that is a very good one. I own that one.
Yeah. Zed's dead, honey.
but Joe, we've already talked about how cringeworthy the syringe scene is.
Oh man. Yeah, it's either you die or you live, and bang, there you go.
No,
hello, wake up, darling. Bang.
Yep. Yep. Didn't really make a difference in the end for them, but you know, consequences.
That was the movie that put Travolta back on the map.
It is.
What does Marcellus Wallace look
great,
like?
Fantastic movie. Because see that he does Arby's commercials.
Say what? Ain't no again. Country I've ever heard of.
Oh my! I can't believe you left the watch. Yeah. 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 All right. My numero uno, number one. And when I say this, I want to ask a question to both you guys. This was the third movie. I was a very young lad when this came out. This was the third movie I'd seen. The first one I saw in the theater was Bambi. The second one I saw in the theater was Snow White. And then Star Wars I saw here. My dad drove, and my mom and me and my brother down to see Star Wars A New Hope at the Eastgate Theater, which is close to where I live currently. And it was the 100th showing, and Darth Vader was emceeing that day. I remember that very clearly. And take a guess how many weeks that movie ran in a row at the Eastgate Theater, Eastwood Theater in Indianapolis.
104.
Lower.
52.
Close. 54 weeks in a row over a year.
I got my fours wrong.
So we got to wrap this up here in a minute. Rob, what was the very first movie you saw in the theater? Do you remember?
Oh, wow. I'm going to... These were pre-Star Wars. I did see the very first Star Wars in the theater.
Yeah.
But kind of like what you're getting to, Joe, it was either Bambi, The Rescuers, Snow White, Love Bug.
Sure, Herbie Love Bug, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Those were the movies I started out with. And then, yes, Star Wars happened. And for my, I think it was my 8th birthday, it was the last little kid birthday party we had at a movie theater was Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, okay.
And there was like 5 to 10 of my friends, and we all
God, the first one we
cool.
saw in the
Scott,
theater.
Go ahead.
I'm pretty sure it was Fox and the Hound.
Oh, okay. Good movie. Good movie. there was a Baskin Robbins close to me when I was a kid on the west side of Anderson. I don't know if you guys remember Burger Chef or not.
Oh my god! To this day, it makes me upset they got rid of that.
Yeah, I agree. It was close to the Burger Chef, and I'll never forget when the Jungle Book came out. They promoted the banana flavor of ice cream, and you know, here I am used to vanilla chocolate and strawberry my whole life, and banana comes out at Baskin Robbins. So I got those little pink taste spoons, and I'm like, yeah, I'll take two dips of that, sure. Yeah. So, you know.
Now Burger Chef, Baskin Robbins, and banana are all gone.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so we got to close with this. What's your worst movie of all time?
Worst.
Mine's super easy.
The case of Benjamin Button, the story of with what's his nuts. He lives his life backwards.
That would be Brad Pitt.
Yes. Yeah. That I was on a date and it was like a second or third date and I knew things weren't going to go well, but then that happened. And I was like, okay, no more Benjamin Button.
No moss.
Oh, worst movie of all time.
Scott? Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, I'm trying to think here. Go ahead.
You need some more time? Here. I can go. Mine, hands down. You know, Judge Dredd with Stallone was bad. I refused to see that with Rob Schneider. Refused to see that. Let's see. And I'm a big comic guy, so if they slaughter the comic books, I'm like, I'm not going to see that mess. So that was one I was not seeing. I saw Dragon Slayer. I don't know if you guys ever saw that. That should have been PG-13 easily. With my aunt when she came to town, and it had one really bloody and gory scene, and I'm like 11. I'm like, what in the hell? So, but hands down, my worst movie, when I walked out of there, I wanted my money back. I was hot that I paid for that movie. Hands down, George Clooney, Chris O'Donnell, Batman and Robin. I want my money back.
That one, no, and that kind of goes to what I was talking about earlier about a realistic Batman. The 80s Batman, no.
Yeah.
Cartoonish, I don't.
Right.
No.
Right.
You know, what can pull you in? So, yeah.
You didn't like Michael Keaton?
Wow.
Who?
No?
No.
Wow.
No.
Okay, I love Michael Keaton.
No.
But Christian Bale's outstanding.
I look at it and I'm like, yes, it's fantasy, it's a comic book, but I could actually see that happening. And I'm just, maybe I'm using the wrong measuring stick, but no, I couldn't use Batman.
So you're a big fan of Adam West then? I'm kidding.
I'm looking forward to how they move forward from The Dark Knight Rises, because they left a few loopholes there.
Yeah,
so the last movie I can think of that I like left.
Okay, Scott,
like,
you got one?
I kind of want my money back because that was just horrible. Would probably be I'm trying to remember the name of it. Grown Ups. It had like Adam Sandler and Kevin James and David Spade. It was just Rob Schneider was in it too. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that's.
Oh, yeah, it's an automatic deny.
That's why I didn't put Adam Sandler in it. That's why I didn't list any of his movies.
Yeah,
because if I'd paid money for any of those movies, I'd be mad too.
Right. What's the Oh, no, I'm going to draw from a blank on that guy. Oh, the only thing David Spade did that was really smart on his part
Tommy
was
Boy.
Head up with Chris Farley. So,
I almost listed Tommy Boy, but when I was thinking of the Umbrella, or, you know, Christmas Vacation, it to me, that falls under that umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I understand. This episode has been brought to you by the letter M for Movies, Joshua 1, Psalm 91. Please read that if you get a chance. 1 Peter 5:7, and let's pray for the virus to end quickly. I'm Joe Carney for Robin Scott and for Indy's Local Flavor. See you next time.